how do you respond when one of the greatest evangelists of the generation goes to be with the Lord? How should we live today in light of his passing? And do you know about the conference taking place in Bethlehem that might well be instilling hostility towards the Jewish people?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm going to do my best to get through this broadcast without breaking down as we mourn the loss of a dear friend, a soldier who's on the front lines of the gospel for many years. And as reports are pouring in social media, it's mind-boggling to see how many people were touched through his life, how many people came to faith through the message of Jesus that he preached. We're also rejoicing that our brother is finally in the presence of the Lord he loves so much. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Although we were live on Friday, because of a power outage, we were unable to take any calls. Our studio was down, and we had to find an alternate way to broadcast, which thankfully we were able to do. But I couldn't take any of your calls and questions on Friday, which is you've got questions, we've got answers. So the phone lines are going to be open today all through the broadcast. Anything you want to ask me, any question you want to raise, any issue you want to address, the phone lines are open. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We'll also begin to talk about the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference in Bethlehem taking place. We talked about that last Thursday with Dr. Paul Wilkinson, but as it's taking place now through the 14th of the month, we want to talk about that as well and give you some constructive and helpful perspectives. We plan to continue on that theme tomorrow as well. And I've got a trip coming up, excuse me, later this week, which could be one of the most important trips of my life. I'll share a bit more with you about that. But listen to this voice. We won't hear it again in person in this world. But there's much rejoicing right now in the world ahead of us. My dear friend, Steve Hill.
Everyone pray with me right now. The prayer we've been praying since Father's Day. Everyone pray out loud. Those of you in the chapel, pray with me. Those of you that hate me, that hate God, you hate this place, I want you to pray too. God haters, witches, warlocks, whoever you are, God lover or a God hater, we want everyone to pray right now out loud. Dear Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, in your precious name, amen. You may be seated.
We got word. I will hold myself together. We got word last night that Steve was gone from this world. He had been fighting cancer, very intense battle with cancer for a good number of years now. And we stood side by side for 4 years, one of the great privileges of my life to stand side by side with Steve in the Brownsville revival and then to minister in other parts of the world together. And we got word that he had gone to be with the Lord last night. I wrote a tribute to Steve Hill. If you haven't read it, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article to read it. About 3 years ago, he was on his deathbed. He was under hospice care, and everyone knew he had a day or two left, and somehow he lived. God raised him up. He wrote the book Spiritual Avalanche. His heart was burning to reach the Muslim world through intranet and TV broadcasts he was putting out, even as he was incapacitated. Launched a Prodigals Only website for backsliders. And you think of it, friends, there's no greater reward that anyone will have than the reward of being a soul winner. When you stand before God, all the people that you've helped lead to the Lord, they'll be there. What a reward for our brother.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have been loved to sleep. We heard all about the love of Jesus. We've all heard about the grace of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, and it's all wonderful. But a loving Savior will one day be a severe judge. According to the words of Jesus, we in America who have heard the word of God over and over again will be held accountable. And he said to people like that, it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. Because of what you've heard, what you've learned, and you still live in disobedience.
That's the voice of Steve Hill. I went to be with the Lord at the age of 60 last night. That's the voice we heard thundering night in, night out for years in Pensacola, Florida during the Brownsville Revival. You may have heard all types of misinformation about it, but it's that voice, that message, that was in the center of it, calling people to repentance, warning them of the coming judgment, offering mercy and forgiveness through the cross. And I haven't had time to keep up with the responses on social media to the announcement that we posted about Steve's passing and the tribute that I wrote to Steve. But and then many other people are posting, and of course, on Jerry Hill's website, Facebook page, that Steve's precious wife, Jerry, the testimonies are pouring in. And if you want to share a testimony that relates to this, you're welcome to 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But the phones are open for what we normally do on Friday because of the power outage in the studio. We broadcast live on Friday, but we couldn't take calls for two solid hours. So you've got questions, we've got answers. I'm happy to talk with you about anything you like. And if it seems trivial, then just wait a little while into the broadcast and perhaps the tone will change at that point. But as much as I knew the impact Steve had, as much as I knew the life that he lived, and remember, I knew him off the platform. I knew him behind the scenes. I knew him in different settings. And like the rest of us, he was not a perfect man, but let me tell you, he was the real deal. He was genuine. He lived what he preached and preached what he lived. He was the most passionate soul winner evangelist I've ever worked with side by side here in America. And you want to know what we talked about behind the scenes? We talked about souls. We talked about revival. We talked about Jesus moving. And there's a story that I tell in my tribute to Steve, one of the best memories I have that articulates who Steve Hill was. Twice a year during the revival, we had leaders' conferences. And in the height of the revival, within one day of registration opening, 1,500 leaders and spouses had registered, and we were sold out. We didn't have to advertise it or announce it. That's the interest that was there every week. Normally several hundred leaders would be there from different parts of America and around the world. Twice a year, we'd have a special leadership conference with additional teaching, day sessions in ministry and things like that. And then, of course, the night services. And those who registered for the conference, at least a good number of them each night, would be allowed in the main sanctuary. See, the lines would form at 6 a.m. People would begin waiting online at 6 a.m. for the doors to open at 6 p.m., for the service to start at 7 p.m., and then the services would go till 12, 1, 2 in the morning, and this is night after night, four nights a week, plus a prayer meeting on another night for a period of years. And that's how God was drawing people. That's how deep the conviction of sin was. That's how great the spiritual hunger was. You want to know what happens when God moves? Supernatural things like that take place. And remember, even though there were some miracles of healing, there was not an emphasis on praying for the sick and miracles. The great emphasis was on getting right with God. And there were unsafe people whose testimonies we'd hear that they came to faith while standing online,
getting ready to go in the building, seeing the way God was working in the lives of the people that were there, hearing them worship as they stood online, coming under conviction of their own lostness before they even came in the building. Again, this went on for years. So the pastor's conference, the leader's conference, what that meant was that it was even harder to get in the main building because of the leaders that were there. So we had overflow buildings that could accommodate hundreds more, some ultimately a few thousand more. Sometimes we'd have a tent put up outside the building and people would watch on a screen from there and in the hallways and so on, the buildings. So this particular night, it was during the pastor's conference week. And I really loved those weeks. Often weeks in advance, God would lay a message on my heart that he wanted me to bring one of the keynote messages for the pastors and leaders. And my heart was always stirred to minister to ministers. And I knew if I could touch them and help them in the midst of the burdens they were carrying, that they could turn around and touch 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 lives themselves. So I looked forward to these weeks, but Steve did not. He loved the pastors. He honored the pastors. But he wasn't there to preach to some man sitting in a suit and tie. He wanted to reach the lost. Of course, you can be lost man sitting in a suit and tie, but you know what I'm saying. So this particular service, there was a back room. We'd hang out. A number of people would hang out before the service started. And he's looking through the blinds of a window there, and he sees two young people walking in. They look like punk rocker type, tattooed, pierced, whatever it was. But they from what you could tell outwardly, they were not believers. And here they are walking into the church service, but they come to a door, and next thing Steve sees them walking away. Well, obviously they were told the main building's full. You have to go into one of the overflow areas. They weren't believers. They weren't interested. There's enough they were going to come into a church service. I still remember it. Steve immediately sent one usher that worked with him. Charlie, go get those young people. Get them in the front row. Take two pastors, put them in the overflow room, but I want them in the building. I'm here for them. That was my buddy Steve. Wanted to reach the lost. Broken heart for the lost. Look, if the gospel is real, people really are lost. It's not just some little gimmicky thing. It's not just some little game. It's not just some, you know, come to church and have a nice, we have a lovely worship experience and we have a lovely children's program and our pastor's delightful and, great. Have a lovely worship experience and lovely children's program, and I'm glad your pastor's delightful. But we're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about people knowing the Lord and being with him forever or being cut off from his presence. And Steve carried that burden, and he was there for the lost and the backslidden. I heard a story many years ago about William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, and he went to, in fact, Matt, grab me that William Booth quote again. I have it in my head. I just want to have it in the exact order. William Booth had gone to Australia and had a gospel meeting, and the place was packed out, but it was packed out with believers. And at the end of the meeting, he said, I'm not here for them. We're the prostitutes. We're the street people. We're the lost. And at midnight, they brought all these lost people into the building, and he had another gospel meeting. That's who he was there for, the down and outers. And that's what Steve was there for, the lost, the hurting, those that society cast out. And I still remember that night watching with tears of joy along with Steve as those young people came to the altar to get right with God. And you say, what happened to them? Well, we can't track every single one. I don't know them personally, but I can tell you many of those people that got saved in the revival ended up going to our school of ministry. And today are missionaries in various countries around the world and serving God all over America. And you think of it, friend. You say, well, what can I do for God? I'm not on the radio. I'm not on TV. I don't write books. I don't pastor a church. Ah, that stuff's nice. There's a responsibility with it. But you know, the greater thing you can do is win the lost. And most lost people get saved through the witness of a friend or a coworker or a family member. That's how the great majority of lost people get saved. May I encourage you, in honor of Steve Hill's memory, let it be that within 24 hours of his passing, that God's people have had a fresh surge of sharing the gospel with the lost. Ask God to share his heart with you. Ask God for the burden that drove Jesus to the cross. I journaled this some years ago, that the burden that drove Jesus to the cross and drove missionaries to the ends of the world doesn't even drive us to our knees. May that burden rise in you. And then that vision of what one of these lost people could look like a year from now, or two, or five, or ten. Remember, the man speaking to you right now, Michael Brown, PhD in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures from New York University, author of 25 books, foremost Messianic Jewish apologist, all the stuff. Jesus Save Me as a heroin shooting, LSD using, rebellious, proud 16-year-old rock drummer. Jesus Saved Steve Hill from a life of death, decadence and drugs and jail and certain death. Jesus saved us. He loves to take the most unlikely and use them for his glory. Why not share the gospel afresh today? It's the highest calling, a soul winner.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I do have some quotes I want to share with you, some audio clips from Steve Hill. If you have not yet read my article on a tribute to Steve Hill, just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article to read it and then share it with others. A bunch of things I want to talk to you about. Again, I have a number of comments on the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference. The third one, first was 2010, then 2012, now 2014, taking place in Bethlehem right now, even as I speak. We'll talk about that, and we're really going to focus on that tomorrow. I've got some audio clips in that respect as well. But a few other things I just want to mention to you, all right? Number one, on Friday, I did something I've never done on the air. I got a call from my nephew, my one and only nephew. I got a call from my nephew, and he shared an urgent situation. A good friend of his, the 8-month-old baby girl who's been very sick all of her short life, needed immediate liver transplant. Basically, an adult would take 15% of their liver. It would be donated to the baby, which is without that, she wasn't going to make it. And then the person who donated the liver, within 3 to 4 weeks, the liver is fully grown back. Insurance would fully cover it. I was given the name of the grandfather. I was told I couldn't post anything on Facebook or give out any details, but I was given the grandfather's name with permission, with request to have people call. And I did this on the air. I've never done anything like this. And obviously, every day we could be putting out special public service announcements, but I felt it was important to do this. After all, as my nephew calling me, and after all, by God's grace, I'm positioned to be on the air. And the need was in the New York area. We've got our great stations, WMCA and Hope Radio, that blanket New York into New Jersey and Long Island. So I made the announcement, and there have been calls that came in to the grandfather, and they may have the donor, which is extraordinary. You know, you don't know who this person is. You don't know anything about them. You've had no connection with them. But you hear this, and you're willing to donate part of your liver and go through surgery to save the life of a little child. That's the spirit of the gospel. That's the spirit of Jesus. That's the spirit that moved my friend Steve Hill day and night for years. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. Now, we're not sure there's a match yet. So one more time, I'm going to give this number out. Do not call to pray with the family. Do not call to offer financial assistance. There's no need for that. Do not call if you feel you have a word of prophecy. Only call if you are a potential donor. You have to be between 18 and 45 years old. You have to be B positive blood type. And you cannot be on medication for cholesterol or diabetes. Here's the number to call if you want to donate 15% of your liver to save the life of an 8-month-old girl. Without this, she will die barring divine intervention. This is her only hope right now, and this is a great testimony for the gospel as well. 516-369-2244. Again, they may have a donor, but it's not certain yet. 516-369-2244. One more time, 516-369-2244. Do not call, please, to pray with them, to encourage them, with a word for them, or with finances for them. This is only if you are a potential donor. And thank you. I'm moved. My nephew was blown away. I called him Saturday to check up on things. He was blown away. All right. A couple other things I want to share. We have had an extraordinary exponential explosion in so much of our ministry. The amount of people we're able to touch, the amount of lives that are being influenced, the reach and scope, the depth of the impact. Person after person who's known me for years said to me, Mike, this is exactly what you're called to do. These are the very things God's called you to do. And of course, we've been doing them on different levels all through the years, but we're coming into many of the things that God's spoken to us about over the years. Let me just give you an example. I wrote an article back in October about some bad double standards on Facebook. And when I wrote it, I mentioned that our average reach in a week on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, was about 40,000 people. About 40,000 people. Sometimes it'd be a little bit more than that. That was October, all right? Towards the end of the year, it jumped through a number of circumstances, and we reached as many as 300,000 in a week. Well, I'm just looking at Facebook stats right now from the last 6 days. Are you ready? Our total reach, that's people who saw posts that were on the Ask Dr. Brown site, and this is their shared other places, 2,091,772. So it went up from 40,000 a week to roughly 2.1 million. People engaged, 176,000. Likes, just clicks on posts that were liked, 119,000. Comments, 20,000. Shares, 35,000. And on it goes. It is a special season. I'm going to be doing a special teaching probably on Wednesday of this week about pruning and how when you bear fruit, pruning comes so that you can bear even more fruit. But I have a unique opportunity. I cannot give further details here. Oh, and by the way, a quote by William Booth, the chief danger that confronts the coming century, meaning the 20th century, will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without hell. You talk about a prophetic quote from well over 100 years ago. Wow. That has been viewed on my Facebook page since it was posted, 2 weeks ago, maybe. It has been viewed 950,000 times. Yes, the message is getting out. I have the opportunity this week to fly to another country. I'm not saying where it is. I hope to give you the details by the end of the week after it happens. Flying to another country and addressing the National Congress on issues of homosexual activism to be aired on live national television. It could be a pivotal moment in this particular nation. Would you pray for me? It's scheduled to take place later this week. Would you pray for me that God would use me to speak words of grace and truth that would help turn the hearts of a nation? All things are possible to him who believes. And as this very moment, there is all kinds of information being shared about Israel and the Jewish people. Some of it truthful, some of it untruthful, some of it helpful, some of it very, very harmful. It is critical that you have the tools in your hand to understand what the issues are. We've put together a special package with my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People. Perhaps it'll be the most eye-opening book you ever read. And my DVD lecture is Israel, an Evil Occupier from the University of South Florida, with postage, $40 of material yours, $25 postage paid. But help with an extra gift if you can. Call us right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Come running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be a covering. His
belonging
breathing. It will provide the healing.
Come running
to the mercy seat.
I need the Lord. Come on, friend.
All right. Doing my best to hold myself together. Michael Brown. That was the voice of Charity James, then Charity James, now Charity Hubbard, singing Come to the Mercy Seat. She was just a young girl, 13, 14, when she started singing at the end of the revival services as part of the altar call that Steve Hill would give. And that was the voice of Steve urging sinners to repent. Steve went to be with the Lord that he loved so much last night. And we mourn his loss. We mourn with his precious wife, Jerry, and the kids. And we rejoice not only that he's with the Lord, but in the amazing fruit that was produced through his life. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have not yet read my tribute to Steve Hill, please do so. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article. Also, while you're there, we have a very, very special offer. It's absolutely free. It's 100% free. If you just look on the homepage, you will see the second slide that comes up. And we are offering all this month, absolutely free, a 16-lecture series that I did about 25 years ago on the subject of revival. We've offered it first on audio tape, then on CD, then by digital download, something that you could purchase for many years now. We're offering it absolutely free. It's not you have to listen to it in a month and then it self-destructs, or you click to listen and then to listen further you have to click to order. No, the whole 16-lecture series, maybe 24 hours of total teaching, is yours absolutely free. No gimmicks. We're doing it for two reasons. One, it's powerful material, and we must have revival. And if I can stir your heart, we're not talking about revival services. We're not talking about getting all emotional. If there's emotion, great. If there's not emotion, that's not the issue. We're not talking about some kind of show or display. We're talking about God's people coming under deep conviction of sin, God's people getting a fresh revelation of the love of God, God's people returning from backslidings, breaking free of discouragement, getting ablaze for God, filled with his life, his power, his joy, filled with a burden for the lost, and then that outpouring coming to a lost and dying world. Charles Finney said that revival presupposes declension. He said it presupposes that the church is sunk down in a backslidden state, and revival consists in the return of the church from her backslidings and the conversion of sinners. We must have it. It's been urgent years past in America and decades past in America, but we must have it. It's revival or we die as a nation. I'm looking at some headlines here. My Five Wives Polygamous Family says going on TV is liberating. Yes, it's the latest show. Big Love was not enough. Sister Wives was not enough. Now My Five Wives is going on TLC. Five wives, 24 children. The father, husband, said it's really like coming out of the closet. It's very liberating. Hey, why not? And the stories go on and on and on. We need revival. We need awakening. The resources are absolutely free. So one, we get it to you free and help spark revival in your own heart and life. Two, it allows us to connect with many of you that we've not yet connected with and share what we're doing in the work of the ministry. So take a minute now. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Second slide that you'll see is the revival series. Download it. Join the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and more who've downloaded it so far, and be blessed.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, Nancy and I were really touched today when we saw an Instagram picture that was posted by our 13-year-old granddaughter, Eliana. She and her family were down for a number of years in Texas. My son-in-law, Ryan, served with Steve Hill and traveled with him closely, worked with him closely for a number of years. So Ellie grew up as a little girl around Steve. We only found out recently that she looked at him like the other grandpa that she never had, because I'm the only grandfather in, on both sides of the family, the surviving grandfather. And just to hear her talk about him as an amazing man and knowing she's going to be with him one day. Steve Hill went to be with the Lord last night at the age of 60 after years of battle with cancer. And I'm encouraging everyone who was touched by his ministry, everyone who came to know the Lord through his ministry, everyone who came back to the Lord through his ministry, everyone who was refreshed or renewed through his ministry, to stand up all the more for Jesus and to be a bold witness. If you have comments that relate to this or just want to ask me a question of any kind, we didn't get to take calls on Friday because our phone lines were down due to a power outage that could not be overcome. Feel free to give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Before I take any calls, let me play another audio clip. For those of you that did not hear the voice of Steve Hill, I heard this night and day, as many did in the midst of the Brownsville revival. We knew each other before Brownsville. I knew his heritage. He was deep in the Puritans and in the classic writers of the past, the Spurgeons and the William Booths. His heart burned for real revival, for real, true, radical salvation, biblical salvation, not just pray some little prayer, but truly turn to the Lord and begin to lead a new life in Jesus. And that's what we talked about behind the scenes. I remember one day as I was getting ready to teach a class on the life of John Hyde, one of the great prayer warriors and missionaries of the early 20th century. And I was listening to a previous class I had taught just to refresh me on details and dates and things like that. And I got so overcome with a burden for the Lord and with a desire to just live for God, listening to my own message, but not because of my message, because of the life of John Hyde. I remember I called Steve when we lived in Pensacola in the midst of the revival. I called Steve and I said to him, I just broke down crying on the phone. We were both torn up with a burden. We just want our lives to count. We just want to burn bright. What else matters? I want to remind you again, the greatest thing you could do, the most effective thing you could do. Yes, pray. Yes, worship. Give your life to the Lord. But win a lost person. Share the gospel with a lost person. Plant a seed. Share your testimony. 866-34-TRUTH. The voice of our departed brother, Steve Hill.
He didn't say, here are the four spiritual laws. You need to understand them, Steve, and then I'll lead you to Christ. No, he said, say the name Jesus. And I'll never forget squeezing his hand. I'm remembering the wonders of the Lord, friends. I looked up at the ceiling of the room, and in unbelief, I said, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I began saying it louder and louder and with more conviction. And the more I said his name, the more power swept through my body. And I went, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And in 30 seconds, friends, I was a brand new person. I will remember. I will remember the wonders of the Lord.
Yes, Steve was a drug addict, and he was a real mess. And his mom brought a pastor over to the house as Steve felt like he was on his deathbed and just going through a horrific time. And as he began to call out on the name of Jesus, remember, he had heard the gospel. He had known the gospel, but had rejected the gospel. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He began to call out to Jesus, and as he did, he got delivered. He got set free. He then went through David Wilkerson's Teen Challenge program. And check this out. He was part of Twin Oaks Bible Academy, a school that Pastor Wilkerson operated for just a couple of years graduated. I think the school only existed a couple of years. You think, what fruit came out of it? Well, one of the greatest evangelists of our day. That's what came out of it. And, boy, we're feeling the loss. You say, Mike, does this make you want to live for God all the more? Well, all the time, that's my heart. But it reminds me all the more of what really matters. And it reminds me all the more that even if we live to be 90, the time we have on this earth is very short. I don't want to lay on you, but I want to encourage you to redeem the time. I want to encourage you, if you've been away from the Lord, if you've been distant, if serving the Lord has just become part of a habit, if you're a habitual Christian, if you've really lost faith, even though you're still going through the motions, if you've justified some sin that you're living in, now is the time to turn. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Now is the time to turn away from sin. You say, how? God will help you. You say, I can't. Cry out to God for mercy. Ask him to set you free and do what you know how to do. Ask him to help you to love what he loves and hate what he hates. If you're hopeless, ask him to put hope afresh back in your heart. It's not too late. You say, how do I know it's not too late? Because you're still hearing the voice of God speaking to you and calling you, and your heart is still conflicted. If it was too late, there would be no more hearing the voice of God and no more caring about the voice of God, and you would already be gone. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Let's go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Paul in Brooklyn, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire.
Well, good day, Dr. Brown, and condolences to Steve and his family. And for certain, yes, I will be praying for you and your journey towards the homosexual venture that you're going on, sir.
Thank you so much.
Today, because question I have, I've heard so many times, is that God will separate our sins as far as east to west, and that our sins are forgiven and forgotten, but yet still when judgment and we go, when we die and we go to judgment, then our life and our past history would be reflected, or we would be shown on what we did in our past. And why is that? I just wanted to ask that question. And also,
yes, it's an important question. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me explain. Let me explain. Jesus absolutely does teach in the parables about rewards and loss, for sure. And Paul does say in 2 Corinthians 5 and Romans 14 that we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, on the one hand, if we are saved people and we die in the Lord, our sins have been forgiven, our sins have been forgotten. We will not stand before God on that day and have God remind us, well, you blew it here, and what about this time? You blew it there, and you sinned this. No, we are forgiven. These things are forgotten. Micah 7, God casts our sins into the depths of the sea. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us, as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. He'll forgive our sins, remember them no more. Jeremiah 31, quoted in Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10, and on it goes. So we will not be judged for our sin, but we will give account for our lives. It's like this. Let's say, Paul, your assignment was to deliver 10 Bibles to your neighbor next door. I'm not going to use you. We'll use someone else. Joe's assignment was to deliver 10 Bibles to the neighbor next door. And what happens is, instead, he goes out and gets drunk and loses 7 of those Bibles on the road somewhere. And when he recovers, he delivers the other 3. Well, now fast forward. Let's say he dies as a believer. He repented of that sin. When he stands before God, God's not going to say, you got drunk, you lost those Bibles, what did you do? But God will say, all right, I gave you 10 Bibles to deliver. I see you delivered 3. Enter into your reward for delivering 3 Bibles. However, there should have been a full reward for delivering 10 Bibles. The nature of that reward, what will it be? Will it be that our capacity to experience God's joy and goodness is greater based on the way we lived in this world? Could it be that it will be a reward of greater authority or greater responsibility in the world to come? All of that can be debated. So we will give account. How did we do what God gave us to do? I don't live your life, Paul, and you don't live mine. But it is a sobering thing to think about. In fact, Paul, when we come back, I just want to mention what Leonard Ravenhill used to say about the judgment seat of Christ, because it was through Leonard Ravenhill that Steve Hill and I connected. A very relevant call today, Paul. Thanks for it. And we'll be right back to talk about the judgment seat some more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friend, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, just hours, last night was when we heard, just hours after hearing of the passing of Steve Hill, we knew he was in dire condition, but we knew he'd been raised up from this numerous times in the past. About 3 years ago, was given just a couple days to live, was under hospice care. God raised him up. At this time, he went to be with the Lord. And my encouragement to each of you through the day has been, reach out to the lost. Look for opportunities to share the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH. So, just responding a bit more to Paul's call from Brooklyn about the judgment seat, Leonard Ravenhill, who is the one that connected Steve Hill and me, and as I've shared before, my connection to Brother Len was quite sovereign and supernatural. Leonard Ravenhill used to meditate constantly on eternity and on the judgment seat. He would come out of his prayer time when I'd spend some days with him down in Texas. He'd come out of his prayer time absolutely devastated, overwhelmed with the beauty of the Lord, overwhelmed with the backslidden condition of much of the church, overwhelmed with the realities of eternity. He'd be stunned as if it was the first time he had seen any of these things. And of course, he greatly impacted Steve Hill's life and my life as well. In fact, it's quite striking. I posted this picture on my Facebook page. Excuse me, I asked Dr. Brown on Facebook. It's quite striking, but the last article of Steve's that was posted on the Charisma News website in the opinion column was right next to one of mine. His message was, get out of the boat. It's kind of faith message I've often preached. My message was 5 minutes inside of eternity, quoting from Leonard Ravenhill, which was kind of the message Steve would normally preach, as Nancy pointed out to me today when she saw that as we were side by side there. But you think of Steve now several hours into eternity, and someone said, think of all the people he's going to meet that he was the one God used to lead to the Lord. Think of that exquisite joy from the agonies he went through, cancer and the weakness. He tried, for believing God on every level and all types of chemotherapy and nutrition, were everything, and he's with the Lord now. But all that to say, Leonard Ravenhill focus so much on the reality of that, this whole idea of Jesus is my homeboy and, I'm going to, the big man upstairs or the man in the sky on high, I'm going to go see. No, this is a sobering thought. Exactly when we stand before the judgment seat, how that works out can be debated. But certainly, as believers, we will give account of our lives. With our sins forgiven, we will give account. And to use the analogy I just used, it's as if God gave us an assignment to deliver certain things to a certain location. And when we stand before him, there's the accounting slip for 100 boxes that were supposed to be delivered, and we only delivered 10. Oh, we won't be condemned to hell, but it will be a sober time. Some have said where it says God will wipe every tear from our eyes, it may just be the tears of mourning and sadness from this world. It may also be the tears of regret of what we could have done differently, will enjoy the Lord for eternity, but there will be rewards for the righteous. It's clearly taught in Scripture. Salvation is all by grace, and we are all equally saved through the blood of Jesus. And yet, there will be rewards. Okay, I'm going to get into this a little bit more in the second hour, so those that don't get the second hour, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. By the way, you can click on a link to keep listening online or get a link to listen on your smartphones so you can keep listening, or just go to the website later today where you can listen to the 2 hours straight. But the Christ at the Checkpoint conference is taking place in Bethlehem right now. To the extent that Israel is guilty of oppression of Palestinians, mistreatment of Palestinians, to the extent that Israel is guilty of behavior that is unjust and oppressive, we as followers of Jesus need to call our friends in Israel to account and need to call on them to step higher and need to call on them to do the right thing. Now, I'm fully aware that many of the accusations against Israel in terms of atrocities and so on are simply Israel's responses to terrorism. I fully understand that. That's why I say if, and where the shoe fits, let it be worn. But let me say this. Let me issue a loud and clear warning. Anything that incites Jew hatred in the body, anything that delegitimizes God's calling of the Jewish people back to the land, anything that challenges God's future promises to Israel and says that there are no longer promises to Israel that apply or promises to the Jewish people, anyone, any individual, any conference that advocates that is not speaking for the Lord. That is not from above. That is not inspired by God. And that is not truly Christian. There is a movie, The Stones Cry Out, the story of the Palestinian Christians. Christ at the Checkpoint. I'll play some audio clips for you in the next hour from that. It says this, all too often media coverage of the conflict in Palestine has framed it as a conflict between Muslims and Jews, largely ignoring the fact that Palestine was the birthplace of Christianity. Well, saying it like that is false because Palestine, by that name, did not exist in the time of Jesus. This is something about 130 years after his birth as the Romans sought to mock the Jews as they were expelled from Jerusalem after the second Jewish revolt that took place from 132 to 135 A.D. To paint Jesus as a Palestinian is misleading. He is a first century Jew called rabbi by his followers. Yes, Palestinian Christians have played a critical role in the land's history and the struggle to maintain its identity. And if not for bad policies of the Arab leaders, and if not for Islamic extremism, there would be a two-state people, Palestine and Israel, and they'd be celebrating side by side anniversary number 66. The problem is not the fault of Israel. It's the fault of the Muslim leadership. They are the ones who've ultimately hurt the Palestinian Christians. That's where the ultimate issue is. To demonize Israel is misplaced, misguided, and destructive. We'll have far more to say about that tomorrow. All right, friends, be equipped. Know the facts. And understand why many Jews through history have been so hostile to Jesus. It's because the Jesus they've known has been the Jesus of the Crusades and the Inquisitions. My book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, has been continuously in print since it came out in 1992. It's been translated into more languages than anything I've written. And it will be perhaps the most eye-opening book you've ever read, and it will inspire you with hope at the end. The book and my DVD lecture is Israel, an Evil Occupier, $40 of material with postage paid, yours for $25. Order today. Get multiple copies for your friends. Call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, I quote you the words of Leonard Ravenhill, who often asks, are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? How do you respond when one of the greatest evangelists of the generation goes to be with the Lord? How should we live today in light of his passing? And do you know about the conference taking place in Bethlehem that might well be instilling hostility towards the Jewish people?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friend, I've been delivered from so much. I've been set so free. And nothing else matters to me in life than to see changed lives. Nothing. See, the only thing we can take with us when we die, when it's all over, is people. That's all you can take with you. Everything else remains. The only thing you can take with you is people.
The voice of evangelist Steve Hill, now with the Lord and probably meeting many people whom he was used to lead to the Lord and who are now in heaven with him, awaiting the final resurrection and the fullness of the world to come. What a loss. What a loss. No, I don't believe that heaven needed him because they don't need to win. I don't go for that. I don't go for that. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. My dear friend, Steve Hill, went to be with the Lord. All of my friends listening right now in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area that knew the church that he planted there some years ago, Heartland, just with a heart to have a base for so much of the work he did and to care for the flock as well. You know, Steve, well, all of you who were touched in the Brownsville Revival, you know, Steve, those who were touched through the website and the TV ministry he was doing, even in the midst of a horrific agonizing battle with cancer for many years. He was a soldier. He kept going. We would literally pray for people till we were ready to drop night in, night out during the revival in Pensacola. He'd get up early the next morning and spend hours before the Lord praying and getting a message. And still remember he called me on the phone. Mike, I'm studying this. Does the Greek word knock mean knock? Because I'm going to talk about Jesus stands at the door and knock. Does it mean knock? I said, yes, Steve, it means knock. And we'd have a good laugh and he'd go back to his preparation. Sometimes in the midst of preaching, he would turn to me. He said, we have here Dr. Michael Brown, and he's a Semitic language scholar. And this text that I'm reading here from the Old Testament, when it says all, Mike, what does it mean in the Hebrew? And I would just get up and just with a smile, I'd say, well, I've studied it for many years now, and I've evaluated it, and I've looked at it in comparison with this language and this, you know, just to have fun with it. And I say, and Steve, it means all. And we'd smile, and he'd go back to preaching. But I remember looking in his eyes. Nancy and I talked about their, you know, his blue eyes. They were piercing and they were full of love, but they're almost always red, either red from crying, or red from lack of sleep. And the legacy of changed lives is real. When you step 5 minutes inside eternity, I just wrote about that last week. By the way, if you want to read my tribute to Steve Hill, just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest articles, and you can read it. The article I wrote before that, 5 Minutes Inside Eternity. Leonard Ravenhill once wrote, 5 Minutes Inside Eternity, and we all wish that we had sacrificed more, wept more, grieved more, loved and prayed more, and given more. On the flip side, when we step into the world to come, we'll see how much we did and how many lives that were affected, and the extraordinary fruit of it. And I don't think there's any greater reward than the reward of an evangelist, the reward of a soul winner, the reward of someone that led lost people to Jesus. Because not only do you have the smile of God, not only do you have the joy in your own heart, but as Steve said, that's the only thing you can bring with you. As one of the leaders in Pensacola used to say, one of the pastors, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't bring anything into the world to come. You can't haul it with you. The big screen TV, the neatest new laptop, a beautiful work of art, your gorgeous home, your new car, your landscape. Can't bring that. But souls, people who've been redeemed, you can bring them with you. What a legacy. What a legacy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, I'm glad to be with you. My heart is broken and yet bursting with gratitude that I was able to be a close friend and co-worker with Steve Hill for years. My heart breaks for his wife, Jerry, and the kids. Nancy and I are grieving with them, but knowing that God's grace is present in the midst of that family and knowing that the reality of Steve's joy and freedom right now after so many years of suffering, that must be bringing great comfort to them. And as they're hearing from so many who were touched by his life, I'm sure they're unable to take in all of the calls, the emails, the texts, the social media posts, but it's overwhelming to see the fruit of a life. Look, most of us, okay, have the privilege of being on radio and TV and writing and preaching to large crowds and doing debates and so on. Most don't have that particular privilege or calling. But let me say this. It is no more significant than anyone else's calling. It's the task I've been given. And if you can live as a man or woman of God, if you can live in intimacy with the Lord, if you can live in such a way that exalts Jesus, and you can be a soul winner, who knows how great your reward will be. You can instill godly values into their kids, into your kids. You can be a witness for the Lord on your job. You think that's going to give you a smaller reward than say, how I do on radio? No, we're each accountable for a lot. And by the way, I don't mean that in obviously in any condescending way, but I don't want it to sound like that at all. I look at godly parents setting a standard for their kids and raising them to know the Lord as heroes. I look at the man or woman that shares the gospel fearlessly on their job and spends time reaching out to people that most of us wouldn't give the time of day to. I look at them as champions, and they inspire me. And the reason that Steve Hill did so well as a public evangelist, because that's who he was in private. 866-34-TRUTH. When he went down to Pensacola, Florida, and by the way, because of power outage in the studio that could not be overcome on Friday, I was unable to take calls, and I said that I would do it today. So anything you want to ask me, I know it's pretty heavy as we're talking about the passing of a dear man of God, but if you want to ask me something relevant to this or irrelevant, I'm going to get to some calls in a bit as well. So just be patient. Number to call, 866-348-7884. But Steve not only preached it like it is, he used illustrations to drill the point home. In fact, I played this in the first hour, but let's just replay clip number 9. I just want you to get a glimpse of the message that Steve preached day and night for many, many, many years, really for decades.
We have been loved to sleep. We heard all about the love of Jesus. We've all heard about the grace of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, and it's all wonderful. But a loving Savior will one day be a severe judge. According to the words of Jesus, we in America who have heard the word of God over and over again will be held accountable. And he said to people like that, it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. Because of what you've heard, what you've learned, and you still live in disobedience.
Yes, yes. Truer words have not been spoken. Steve came to Brownsville as a traveling evangelist. He and his wife, Jerry, had been missionaries in Argentina for some years. They came back to the States. His heart was burning for revival. We would talk on the phone. We knew each other by book and phone, but didn't meet face-to-face until May of 1996 in the midst of the revival, at which point God immediately called me to be part of the team there and serve by doing day sessions and participating in the night meetings and raising up the school of ministry that continues to this day as Fire School of Ministry. And I'll get back to my point in a moment, but Nancy and I were talking not only about all of the people, the entire leadership team that I work with. We all came together as a team through Pensacola, through the outpouring there. Most of us didn't know each other before that time. That's how God brought us together. That's how our school was birthed. And there are missionaries serving God around the world, doing extraordinary work for God around the world, pouring their lives out around the world. And it all goes back to what God did in the revival. And God used Steve Hill to ignite that and Pastor John Kilpatrick to help pray that into reality and help be a shepherd over it. So Steve came there as a traveling evangelist, and he basically had five different messages that he preached, and they were all very real to him. And some evangelists do that. They go from place to place, and that's what burdens their soul. So they preach on one of those key messages. Well, God moved in the services in a supernatural way, and John Kilpatrick and Steve said, well, let's go another night. They went another night, and then it went to a third night, then a fourth night, then a fifth night. They thought, wow, this may go on for weeks. It ended up going on for the better part of 5 years, and on a certain level even after that, and through those touched, it continues to this day, almost 20 years later. And Leonard Ravenhill had said to Steve shortly before Brother Len had his stroke in 1994 at the age of 87, never came out of it, and then just went to be with the Lord in November of 94. He said to Steve, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. And that became the operative word. And Steve canceled all of his preaching around the world and around America and just poured into Brownsville and the revival there for years. And then sometimes we would go out as a team to different convention centers and places that would seat 8, 10, 15,000 and hold meetings on the road for those that had never come to Pensacola. And we've heard dramatic testimonies of those saved and delivered and transformed through those. But for a period of years, 4 or 5 messages a week, Steve would get a brand new message every day, pray and study, go before the Lord. And he often used illustrations to get his point across. And I remember on a July 4th service, he preached a message called Fire Works. And in that message, he had a blowtorch that he would turn on as he was preaching about fire. Remember at the end of the night, we turned the lights down. The only thing you saw was this blowtorch. And by the way, he relied on the Holy Spirit. He relied on conviction of sin. He relied on the power of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus to change lives. And he preached with passion, and he used powerful illustrations, just as George Whitefield could have been a dramatic actor. Instead, he was used as an evangelist and soul winner, as was Billy Sunday, people who were tremendously dramatic in their delivery and preaching. Well, one particular night, and I put this in my tribute, I remember going in the back room where we would hang out before the service started, and he had an axe. He had an axe on his shoulder. He had an axe on his shoulder. And he was going to preach from Luke 13. The fig tree owner, said, cut this tree down. I've had it 3 years. It hasn't borne any fruit. Cut it down. And the guy who was tending it said, give it one more year. Let me work on it. Let me fertilize it, work on it. Give it one more year. And if after 1 year it doesn't bring forth fruit, cut it down. And Steve's message was going to be, what if for some of you this is the last day of that year? What if God's given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and this is the last day of that year? What if? And as he talked to me about it with the axe on his shoulder, literally the two of us became so overcome by the reality of the message that we broke down crying in the back room. That we were staggered by the thought of it and the immediacy, the possibility of judgment. I remember one night, he didn't use scare tactics in terms of you're going to die tonight or something like this, but he was preaching one night, and it got my attention. To my surprise, he said, somebody here, if you don't get right with God, you're going to die in a high-speed car wreck. I don't remember ever doing it before that or after that. A direct and specific warning. Some weeks later, we were both shattered, and the other leaders were shattered, as he read the email from a young woman who said she was there with a friend of hers, a guy, and they both went up to get right with God at the altar call. She said it was real in her life. It was serious in his life, in her life, but it wasn't serious in his life. A few days after that, he was, maybe a week after that, he was in the bar hanging out with friends and decided he was going to show off how fast he could drive. And next thing they hear, he's killed in a car wreck that night, going 100 miles an hour on some side street. his vehicle just decimated. And she said, I just came from the funeral. You know, that's reality, friends. Steve Hill lived in the light of eternity. And all of us are passing through this world. Steve was cut down at the age of 60 and went to his reward. You may live to be 100. You may live to be 20. But we're all just passing through. And one day we'll stand before God. And as Leonard Ravenhill asked, and it's written on his tombstone, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? We'll be back with your calls, and I want to talk to you about the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There is so much oppression. There is so much injustice. We have a wall that is surrounding Bethlehem and most of the Palestinian towns and villages. There is an occupation that is taking and stealing away most of our lands.
That is the voice of Reverend Alex Awad, speaking of the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference that is taking place in Bethlehem even now. I plan to address this more on the broadcast tomorrow, specifically in the first hour, but we may do it in the second hour as well, this hour, as I speak with David Brog, who works with Pastor John Hagee and Christians United for Israel, about evangelical support of Israel, what it means, challenges to that support. Are we whitewashing Israel? Is Israel guilty of atrocities against Palestinians? What do we make of charges like apartheid or genocide, some of these very ugly charges that are raised? That being said, I want to reiterate that wherever Israel is guilty of sinning against the Palestinians, in other words, doing things above and beyond what is necessary for security, doing things above and beyond what is necessary for the preservation of life, doing things above and beyond what is simply in Israel's best interest so that they will not be destroyed by Islamic terrorism, where Israelis are sinning against the Palestinians, where they are guilty of racism, wherever that's taking place, that needs to be addressed and renounced. Contrary to popular opinion, as a follower of Jesus who supports the modern state of Israel, yes, as a Jewish follower of Jesus, but most of the supporters of the modern state of Israel are not Jewish, and I don't do it as a Jew. I do it as a follower of Jesus and a believer in the scriptures. But to say this clearly, those of us who are supporters of Israel are well aware of issues with Israel. I've often spoken of Israel's sin and shortcomings just on the moral level. Come on. Every Israeli female soldier is allowed 2 free abortions, you know, paid for by the government. Tel Aviv, far and away, was voted as the most gay-friendly city in America. You see pornography and prostitution in Tel Aviv like you do in other big worldly cities. Most Israelis are not devout believers in God. Those who are very devout, the ultra-Orthodox, hotly oppose the gospel and would gladly drive out Jewish believers in Jesus from the land if they could. And certainly, in the midst of the pressures and the hostility, Israelis have mistreated Palestinians. No one that I know would deny that. And we work with, most of the work that we do is with Jewish believers who are involved in working with Palestinian believers and are involved with outreach to Arab villages and the Muslim world and who want to cross lines wherever they can for the sake of the gospel. So I'm not trying to instill some militant Zionism, kill those dirty Palestinians. No, God forbid. That being said, the feelings that will be stirred up at the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference, if it's like the last two, will be anything but constructive. And will in many cases be anything but from above, because they will discount God's purposes for the Jewish people. They will seek to delegitimize Israel as in any way a fulfillment of God's plan, and they will only paint one part of the picture. Will they explain that there is not a wall, an apartheid wall, running through Israel? There is a security fence running through Israel with 3 to 4% of it consisting of a wall. Why is the wall there? Because of Palestinian Islamic snipers who were killing Jews. Why is the fence there? To stop murderers. After hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Jews had been killed by terrorist attacks, a security fence went up, part of it being a wall. Is anyone in their right mind going to protest that to keep murderers out? And now that this now becomes a point of Israel's, or proof of Israel's oppression of Palestinians? Are you kidding me? That you go to Bethlehem and you see this wall, and look at how this wall has hurt us and it's hurt our tourism and so on and so forth. The Christian population in Bethlehem suffered for sure when the Palestinian Authority took over leadership in 1995. And there are Palestinian Christians who would tell you that if their lives would not be threatened. They would tell you about the dangers if their lives would not be threatened. Look, there are people that we want to talk to, but they can't talk publicly, because if they do, they could die. At whose hands? The hands of other Palestinian Christians? No, at the hands of Palestinian Muslims, many of whom are radical. How many radicals do you need? 10% of the population, 20% of the population, to make it a dangerous thing to speak out against it? So the idea that the, quote, wall is going to be, is an apartheid wall. It's not an apartheid wall. The wall went up to keep murderers out and to keep snipers from killing innocent men, women, and children. Let the truth be told. If the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference said we recognize God's eternal purposes for the Jewish people, and we even recognize that God has brought them back to the land, but what we call for is justice and equity, and there are many injustices that we want to address, and we want to find a way to live side by side peacefully with the Jewish people whom we recognize have been called back to the land by God and who need a homeland of their own, especially after the Holocaust, and we recognize that God has given promises to Israel that he will not revoke. Romans 15:8 says that through Jesus, the promises to the patriarchs were confirmed. If that was the tone, if there was a renouncing of anti-Semitism in church history and a confronting of radical Islam and the Palestinian Authority's failure to recognize the Jewish state and Hamas's call for the extermination of the Jews, that would be one thing. But if the conference is true to form, that will not be the lead theme and what you take away. All right, I want to come back and get to some of your calls and share a few more thoughts with you about Steve Hill and share with you some information about a very important trip I'll be taking later this week. Really need your prayers. I've put together a special resource package for you. I want to encourage every one of you to get it. You can go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, to get it. AskDrBrown.org right on the homepage, or you can call 1-800-278-9978. It's my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, so crucial at a time like this. It will give you a picture of persecution of Jews in Jesus' name through history. You'll be shocked from the opening page. It will give you a picture of what's really happening on the ground in Israel. It will, and the book has been continuously in print since 1992 and more relevant today than the day it was written. It will give you a picture of some of the beauties of Jewish tradition and what the Word says about Israel's future. Get that together with my DVD lecture plus a Q&A session at the University of South Florida. Is Israel an evil occupier? With postage, $40 of material, but yours, $25 postage paid. If you become a torchbearer today, a monthly supporter, I'll send it to you as a gift as well. Call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I want you to hear this voice. It's a voice that we will not hear live in this world, but through messages, through books, through many materials that will be circulating now, all the more with the passing of this general in God's army. I want you to hear this voice again. Joey, let's play clip number 14, the voice of my dear friend and colleague, Steve Hill, who went to be with the Lord last night after a long battle with cancer. Let's listen to Steve once again.
I'm talking about knowing him, not knowing about him. You don't know him. Pray right now. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my very best friend. I give you my life in Jesus' name.
Yeah, that was a fairly recent video of Steve, weakened by years of cancer and chemotherapy and then nutritional therapy and, of course, much, much prayer. It's a miracle he lived this long. He was given up to die three years ago and under hospice care with just a couple days to live, miraculously raised up, went on to write the Spiritual Avalanche book and continues to speak to us today. And the thousands and thousands and thousands who were saved through his ministry, transformed through his ministry, millions literally touched through his ministry are rising up today with testimonies and I'm sure a fresh flame burning in their hearts to serve the Lord and to make a difference. A few years back, Pastor John Kilpatrick organized a special event in Dallas at Heartland Church, the church that Steve founded. My son-in-law Ryan and family worked with him closely in those early years of the church, so our grandkids got to see Steve Hill in those days more than they got to see Nancy and me. So he's been a special part of the family in that way as well. And we were coming together to honor Steve, to pray for Steve, and to help raise funds because he was unable to travel. That's what brought in most of the income for his ministry, as he travel and speak. And this was just a way to show support and solidarity. He was very weak. He had started the chemo treatment about 45 minutes before the service started. I remember when he came into the back room where many leaders had gathered, it was kind of a shock. I mean, we all gasped when we saw him, the condition he was in. So he was to sit through the worship, and then he got up. And what does he do? I mean, he was weak. He was hurting. We were amazed he was able to stay as long as he was. I mean, he was a soldier. He was strong. But what does he do? He knew that there was a live stream feed, and he knew that not everyone that claims to be a follower of Jesus is a follower of Jesus. Not everyone who shows up at his church service, even one like that, is a follower of Jesus. What does he do? He preaches a message. He gets up there and says, I've got to do this. Some of you here don't know the Lord. Some of you are not right with God. Some of you have never been saved. And what does he do? He preaches a short gospel message and gives an altar call before he leaves the meeting. That was my friend Steve Hill. He lived in the light of eternity. And I want to urge you that the greatest thing you could do as a follower of Jesus, it boils down to this, be a disciple and make disciples. Know God and make him known. Surely there's someone you can share the gospel with. Surely there's someone that you can tell about Jesus. Surely there's someone that your life can make a difference in theirs. And friends, the impact that you can have by winning someone to the Lord is the greatest possible impact. Right back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Come running to the mercy.
Oh boy, tears at my heart. Charity, she's Charity James, then Charity Hubbard today, singing Mercy Seat, sung hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times during the Brownsville Revival, and every night with a sense of urgency. Every night your heart was bursting for the lost to come. Every night you felt souls were in the balance. You say, a bunch of emotionalism. Oh, so does emotionalism produce fruit that lasts for decades? Does emotionalism produce fruit where someone's instantly delivered from drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever the addiction was, and they go on to be serving God as pastors or missionaries or evangelists or fine moms, dads, and Christian businessmen and women? No, emotionalism gets you up high for a little while and crashing down. It doesn't bring about lasting change. That's the power of the gospel, which often comes with great emotion. Michael Brown, the day after the news came of Steve Hill going on to be with the Lord. And if you didn't read my article, my tribute to Steve Hill, please do so. Go to askdrbrown.org and just click on latest article. All right. You'll want to share it with others. And we're posting on my Facebook page a powerful quote from Leonard Ravenhill and asking others to share it. So if you're not connected with me on Facebook, go to Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, A-S-K-D-R Brown, and connect there. I've got a really important announcement to make to you, and I covet your prayers, so stay tuned. I'll be making that shortly. Let's go to Columbus, Ohio. Jason, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me on, Dr. Brown. I just really saddens me. I love that brother, and just a wonderful man of God. I wanted to call and give testimony to, he prayed for a young lady, as many people he prayed for in Brownsville. She had gotten in, interestingly enough, you told that testimony, she got in a car wreck, she was backslid, and she had some permanent damage from her eye, was having some paralysis problems. She got prayed for, was healed, and her and her husband now are missionaries to Jamaica, and their young son. And they're loving God all these years afterwards, and she rededicated her life to Christ, and is now, you know, serving God overseas, winning Jamaicans to Christ with her husband. And I've also been very touched just through his ministry. I have some of his books, his sermons, and wonderful stuff. Enjoy your ministry too, brother. God bless. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jason. Social media right now is absolutely flooded with testimonies of changed lives. I'm going to try. When I started the show hour and 40 minutes ago, I lost it then. Got a note from our daughter Meg saying, I'm listening, Dad. Try to keep it together. You know, just cheering me on to hold it together and not just break down crying. I know it's, you want me to be real, but, you know, it's not the best time to be on the national radio and there's no sound except maybe some sobbing in the background. But let me try to read this from one of our grads from Pensacola. Was just able to read your tribute to Steve along with another tribute. Heartfelt and beautifully written and leaving me undone again, barely able to hold it together in the Starbucks I'm sitting in. That, too, is the true grief for me. I believe the reason for the deep mourning of a man I did not know personally, that there is none we know of to replace him in his heritage. That's what I used to tell Steve when we talked. And when he was well enough to talk, he'd call sometimes a couple times in a day, and we talk about the Lord. We talk about reaching the lost, his burden for the Muslim world now, is for the prodigals and so on. And I said, Steve, we don't have anybody to replace you yet. There are young evangelists who've been raised up that are powerful young men and women of God being used by the Lord, but we don't have any replacement for you yet, buddy. We've got to see you live. That's what this grad says. There's none we know of to replace him in his heritage, love for Jesus and souls, humility and boldness, weeping and mourning. I'm not jealous of his or any man's anointing or ministry, but rather provoked by his tender intimacy and fierce devotion to pleasing him. I wept and prayed into the early hours because the rare testimony of Jesus the evangelist in a man, as with David Wilkerson and Leonard Ravenhill, will no longer be present among us to share his grief. I'm trying, friends, and cry aloud for his sake alone. Fervent sons, fiercely loyal to their father and strongly protective of what by right belongs to his son alone. Oh, friend, may the example of our dear brother burn afresh in you to stir your heart to be a soul winner, your heart to make a difference. And as I just posted minutes ago on Facebook, a quote from Leonard Ravenhill, the man that God used to connect Steve and me, and I believe the man whose prayers for revival, 60 years of prayers for revival, with many tears and with a broken heart, I believe his prayers were answered in Pensacola. Leonard Ravenhill, my main ambition in life is to be on the devil's most wanted list. I said, in honor of Steve Hill, please share this in his memory. 866-34-TRUTH. Important announcement, and then I do want to take some calls. Some of you have been holding patiently, and I appreciate that. Okay. I've been invited. I'm not giving details of the country yet, but I've been invited to fly to another country later this week and address the Congress of this nation. Not testify for 5 minutes, but address the Congress of the nation on the consequences of homosexual activism, not in a way to demonize people, not in a way to incite hatred, God forbid, but in a way to raise awareness of what happens when homosexual practice is normalized. And it will be broadcast on live national television. I'm supposed to have then private meetings with other congressional leaders and then speak at a major university, just not telling you which country yet, but it is outside the United States. Please pray for me. Pray for me later this week, Wednesday and Thursday, that God will use this supernaturally. And I will be giving you an update on the air as soon as I am able to, either Friday or Monday, and tell you what happened, as well as sharing on social media, perhaps even as early as Thursday night. So please pray. This could be significant in the life of this nation, in the direction of this nation. Let's pray that grace and truth would triumph. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. All right. We'll try Todd in Seagrove, North Carolina. Thank you, Todd, for holding so long as I shared my heart about Steve Hill.
Well, that's fine, Dr. Brown. I extend my condolences to his family and to his friends in his passing. I never really had much contact with him. Of course, you know, back whenever the Brownsville revivals were going on, it's like, you know, I was hearing, you know, mainly negative, you know, reviews about it. So it's like I really didn't pay much attention, you know, afterwards, you know. So I really didn't. I was a young Christian when all that was going on. So I think the more
years and generally speaking, well, I've always said, or said for many years, you can have controversy without revival, but you can't have revival without controversy. So there's always going to be some level of opposition. And generally what happened, there was just a lot of misinformation that was spread. Or one person would go and have a bad experience, and instead of hearing the testimonies of 10,000 or 100,000 who were changed, you'd hear one person who was disgruntled. And we watched that. But that's always going to happen. You know, when Jesus was in the world, there was opposition, and he was maligned. He was accused of being an alcoholic and hanging out with prostitutes and sinners in the worst, you know, the worst scenario possible. And when the Holy Spirit falls at Pentecost, the Feast of Shavuot, the biblical Feast of Weeks, when that happens, the crowds immediately divide it. Some say this is God, and some say the people are drunk. So that's the picture. That's what happens when revival comes. But as an eyewitness to it for 4 years, and as one who knew Steve for years before that, and of course years after that until his passing, and then knowing the fruit that came out of it, our whole school of ministry and church and missions organization, Fire, was birthed out of that revival. The fruit remains. So, yeah, it's a terrible loss, but we are praying and believing that that he'll be like a seed planted in the ground that will bear much, much fruit with his passing. So back to you, Todd.
All right. My question is, it's about the timing of Passover, Dr. Brown. I understand on the calendar that it's April 15th, but what I've understood about the timing of it was that the new moon before the spring equinox is whenever the first month of the biblical year is supposed to begin, and I know that happened back on March 1st, and I was calling to get some confirmation from you. Or
got it. All right. Yeah, I'll respond to that on the other side of the break. Thanks, man.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, just want to finish answering this question that Todd has asked. Well, start to answer it. I didn't answer it before the break. And Todd, as soon as I'm done explaining this, Dwight is going to get back on the line with you. And assume you have an email address, we're going to email you a link. It is from an ultra-Orthodox Jewish website, Chabad, Lubavitcher Hasidic website, and we will email that to you, all right? So the simple answer is that, based on interpretation of Scripture and Jewish tradition, that although the main issue was just what you stated in the equinox, etc., that yes, was the main issue. However, it was important that because this is a lunar calendar versus a solar calendar, so there are extra months that are added in, leap year months that are added in, that this was a spring festival. And if the date fell too early on the calendar and it would be before spring, then an additional month would be added in. So the explanation is just slightly technical. There are references to Jewish tradition here. Anyway, we're just going to email you this link. This is based on Jewish tradition. So just hang on until Dwight gets back with you, Todd. Stay right there, and then he'll get you this link, email it to you. You'll be able to read it in more detail. There'll be rabbinic references. The larger question, though, is that as the early church grew, and as more and more Gentiles came to faith, there was a division in the first few centuries between the East and the West. One community wanted to follow the Jewish calendar. So when the rabbinic community said this is the time of Passover, then that's when the death and resurrection of Jesus would be celebrated. The other part of the church said, no, we want a fixed day every year, a Friday and a Sunday that's fixed, and that's how we're going to celebrate it. And there was a division. And under Constantine, he explicitly said that he wanted to break this Jewish connection. There's a clearly anti-Semitic document from Constantine. I talk about it in my book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices. I cite Constantine's edict to that effect, that he wanted the separation from the Jewish calendar and any sense of reliance on Jewish tradition in terms of when this would be set, and said instead there should be just the set Friday, Sunday, and this is when we celebrate Easter. And that's why Passover and Easter occur at different times over the year. If I had my druthers, I would call the whole church, the whole body worldwide, to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Yeshua in the midst of the Passover season and in conjunction with the Jewish calendar, so that this would be a reminder of the Jewish roots of the faith. This would be a reminder of Jesus being a Jewish man who was called rabbi by his followers and who died as the Passover lamb and who rose from the dead at the time of first fruits, and then who sends the Spirit 50 days later, Pentecost, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. That's how I would love to see it done. That's how Messianic congregations do it. And perhaps something like that will actually take place one day before the Lord returns. As I prepared a detailed PowerPoint presentation to show when I fly out of the country later this week, God willing, and address the Congress of another nation about the consequences of homosexual activism, I basically put together a slide presentation from some of my other lectures and updated it, just saying, hey, here's what's happened in America. Here's what we've witnessed. This is what we have seen. This is what is coming. And if you go in the same direction, this is what will happen in your country. So just act with responsibility and do the right thing. We need revival, friends. The trajectory of America on 100 different fronts is going the wrong way. The amount of young people who do not believe in God, the amount of young people who have no interest in the gospel, the amount of young people who are embracing the wrong side of the narrative, say, concerning Israel or concerning homosexuality. And then so many of the older generation, so much of the older generation content with some type of churchianity and just having successful meetings and services. Friends, we need awakening. I have put together for you something very special, and it's absolutely free. Free. No strings attached, nothing. All we need you to do is go to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Just go there, and when you do, the second slide that comes up will be the free download from my revival series. This is a teaching series I did about 25 years ago. As I got more and more burdened to teach on this, to write on this, reading more about revival, the passion, the hunger, the thirst grew. It's before I knew Steve Hill, but it's just around the time I was getting to know Leonard Ravenhill. And then it was through Brother Len, the author of Why Revival Tarries, that Steve and I got to know each other. And what a lifelong connection. I'm eternally grateful to God for that. And it's 16 lectures, probably 24 hours. Your own heart will be stirred. There'll be hunger. There'll be thirst for God. There'll be vision of what God can do through revival. And it's free. Say, there must be a gimmick. No, we just want to get it out to the maximum number of people. And it's my way of helping spark revival in your heart and in the nation. And you can share it with others. Once you get it, tell your friends to download it. All we ask is that you do it through our website. And it's our way of connecting with you and introducing you to the work that we are doing. So take a moment and go there. It's a big download, so do it on your computer, and then you can transfer the individual files to your smartphone or your MP3 player so that you can listen as you drive or in other settings. All right? So askdrbrown.org, and then the second slide, click on that for the free download. Take advantage of it. Tell your friends, pastor of a church, tell everyone in your church to take advantage of it. But have them all go to the website. That's all we ask as you do that. And then when you click on the first slide, you'll see our special resource offer. Boy, is this critically important. The church needs to understand the history of Israel, the pain of the Jewish people. The church needs to understand God's eternal purposes for Israel and the realities of what's happening in the Middle East. My book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, the most translated book I've ever written, continuously in print for 22 years now and more relevant today than the day I wrote it, together with a very important lecture I did at the University of South Florida, Is Israel an Evil Occupier? You'll find it to be really eye-opening. Please take advantage of this offer. It's $40 of material with postage, but yours for a gift of $25 or more. And if you're able to help us with an additional gift or become a monthly supporter, that would be wonderful, friends. We're on the front lines making a difference. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, I will quote from the words of Leonard Ravenhill. May it be our main ambition in life to be on the devil's most wanted list.